بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. So we are basically continuing the fiqh class, and today we will learn about the tayammum very quickly, and then we'll move forward for the ahkam of muhtadhir and mayyit, and then the ahkam of salat inshallah in a little bit detail. So tayammum is wajib in Islam, and tayammum is of two types. Sometimes we have to do tayammum as a replacement of ghusl, and sometimes we do it in the replacement of wudu. These are two types of tayammum. And basically, the procedure of tayammum is that it includes four things are wajib. First one is the niyyat and intention. So a person has to fix in the niyyat whether he is doing the tayammum instead of wudu or doing the tayammum instead of ghusl. This has to be fixed. I'm doing tayammum instead of the as a replacement of wudu, qurbatan ilallah. Or I'm doing tayammum as a replacement and badal of ghusl, qurbatan ilallah. This niyyat has to be clear. And obviously, we don't have to say the niyat of any of the ibadat orally, but this intention, this theme has to be niyat. As you know, is the qasdul qalb, the intention which is found inside the heart of the person. That theme has to be there. You don't have to say the sentence inside the mind, you know. It just, the theme has to be there. So if somebody asks you, you can say it. That means your mind, you were mindful about that and you were paying attention to that. That's enough. And the second wajib of tayammum is striking of both hands. So you cannot touch it, you have to strike. Striking the both hands together on one of those things upon which we do the tayammum. Striking both of the hands together. That's the second wajib. And the third wajib of tayammum is to rub the left hand over the right hand sorry, that's the fourth one. Actually, I skipped one thing. The third one, let me write the third wajib here. The third wajib is rubbing the face. And I'll explain the procedure after I write it. And the fourth wajib is rubbing the left hand over the right and rubbing the right hand over the left. Now the procedure is as follows. What we need to do is that whatever things upon which we do tayammum, we are going to study those things right now in a few minutes. So you take off your rings, and obviously we will learn the shara'it, that the hands have to be clean, pak and tahir, Islamically clean, and remove all the obstacles like ballpoint ink or any najasat or nail polish for the girls. Anything that can block has to be removed, and the hands need to be dry and tahir and pak. So, and after removing the rings, then you combine both hands together like this, and we strike on one of those things upon which tayammum is okay to do. Strike them together. So you cannot touch it. If you touch it like this is not right. It has to be dharbul yadain, not wad'ul yadain. It has to be striking of both hands, not touching of the hands or putting of the hands. You have to strike it like this, combining together. Then you can do like this to keep away the dust. And after you hit that, then you combine the palms together, and you have to rub it on the face, starting from the roots of the hair. Stretch both of the palms like this, and then you move, because these two areas are still not covered. So move the hand like this towards right and towards left, so you cover these two areas. And then you drag the hand further down over the eyebrows, so eyebrows are also need to be included according to ihtiyat-e-wajib, obligatory precaution, over the eyebrows. And then stretch the fingers over the nose, so the nose top is also included, okay? And then we do it, the step number 4 is rubbing the left hand from the wrist downwards over the right hand, and then rubbing the right hand from the wrist downwards over the left hand. So these are the four wajibs of tayammum. It takes 5 seconds to do. Sirf peshani pe hoga aur bhave puri shamil ho jaye ihtiyat e wajib ke tehat, aur uske baad jo ungliyan hain, beech ki ungliyan hain, zahir hai wo aap khees lenge naak ke upar, taki naak ki tip tak aap khees le. Bas ye gaal aur muh aur hont aur thuddi, isko cover karna nahi hai tayammum mein. Ye tayammum ka hissa nahi hai, nahi kiya jayega. Ek hi dafa karna hai, chahe جی بالکل ایک ہی دفعہ کرنا ہے. چہرے پہ بھی ایک دفعہ ہے, الٹا ہاتھ دائیں ہاتھ کے اوپر بھی ایک دفعہ ہے, دائیں ہاتھ بائیں ہاتھ کے اوپر بھی ایک دفعہ ہے. Now, so this is the procedure. Now we have some of the ahkam, means some of the rulings. First of all, the parts of tayammum, these parts of the body upon which we do the tayammum, that means face and the two hands, parts of tayammum. Must be tahir, pak, Islamically clean. Number two, rings need to be taken off. Number three is that if the tayammum is done as a replacement of ghusl al-janaba, ghusl al-janabat, the ghusl that we do for janabat, for after the sexual intercourse or the after the wet dreams, this ghusl janabat, if we do the tayammum as a replacement of ghusl janabat, then just like the after ghusl janabat we are not allowed to do wudu, it is not jaiz to do wudu, that's not an option, it's not even allowed to do the wudu after ghusl janabat. So similarly, when you do the tayammum when you do the tayammum as a replacement of ghusl janabat, here also you don't have to do the wudu, you don't have water, let's suppose, you know, so you don't have to do a second tayammum in the place of wudu, one tayammum in the place of ghusl janabat and the second tayammum in the place of wudu. No, you just one tayammum is enough, because ghusl janabat was enough in the place of wudu. The tayammum you do in the place of ghusl janabat, that one tayammum is also enough. You don't have to do a second tayammum in the place of wudu. Is that clear? Whereas if you do the tayammum if the tayammum is done as a replacement and badal of any other ghusl other than ghusl janabat, any other ghusl, washing of the body in an Islamic way, if you do tayammum as a replacement for any other form of ghusl, here you have to do tayammum. For instance, ghusl hayd, for the women who are supposed to do ghusl hayd for their monthly period, now if the water is not available, they would do one tayammum in the place of the ghusl. Now, because ghusl hayd is not sufficient in the place of wudu, according to the fatwa of the most famous of the maraji, this ghusl of hayd is not sufficient in the place of wudu. After ghusl of hayd, she has to do tayammum as well, she has to do wudu as well. Now that she is doing tayammum in the place of ghusl al-hayd, she has to do a second tayammum as a replacement of wudu after it. Is that clear? So,
and if water is available, then do wudu.
Obviously, we will come to the point where we will learn those ahkam as well, that when are we supposed to, which are the mawarid, where places where we are supposed to do tayammum, and where we are, you know, which are the only places where we are supposed to do tayammum. One of the places is where water is not available. So we will learn those very soon, inshallah. The fifth and most important significant point that needs to be, obviously the ahkam are a lot, but we are just discussing the most significant rulings. The fifth most significant point here is that if tayammum is done, if it is done, that means if tayammum is done due to due to unavailability of water. As soon as water is found, thermum will automatically become batil. If water is found, tayammum will become batil. Okay? This has to be kept in mind. So your tayammum is valid only up till the time when you don't have water. If you are doing because of the fact that water was not available, now that the water becomes available, it's automatically batil. Let's suppose you did tayammum and now you're about to start your prayers. And you're about to say Allahu Akbar. Before you say, somebody is running with water, I found the water. Now you cannot start your prayers. Your tayammum automatically became batil because the reason for tayammum was unavailability of water. And now the water is found, so it automatically will be batil. It needs to be remembered that tayammum instead of wudu and tayammum instead of ghusl both have the same procedure. There is no difference between these two. They have one standard procedure and both of them are done in the same way. Now let's go to learn about those six things upon which we can do the tayammum. There are total six things upon which we can do the tayammum. Things upon which we do the tayammum. Hello. Upon which we do the tayammum in total, and there is also a tartib and sequence that needs to be followed. So these things are sequential, so we need to take care of the sequence. So we need to do it on the first thing first. If it is found, then not. If not, then we go to the second. If not, then we go to the third, in the same sequence. There are total six things. The first one is obviously the soil, haq. Second one is sand. In Farsi we see reg, Urdu reth. Third one is Farsi you say kuluh, and Urdu we say dhera. Soil, what do you call it? Dhele ko kya kehte hain? नहीं पत्थर नहीं ढेला मिट्टी का ढेला काइंड ऑफ रॉक मेड ऑफ सॉइल ओके सो दिस इज द थर्ड वन एंड द फोर्थ इन द सीक्वेंस इज स्टोन वी डू तयम्मुम इफ वी डोंट फाइंड द फर्स्ट थ्री देन वी डू इट ऑन द स्टोन ऑब्वियसली इट हैज टू बी पाक एंड ताहिर ऑल stone includes four types of stones the chalk chuna gach and brick the you know brick which is also a baked soil in other words and marble, Sangemarmar, and fourth one is the Sangesiyah, means the black stone. So these four are included in the stone. You can do it on any of those.
So all the stones are
baked soil. Pakki hui mitti. Paka garam karke paka li jati na jaise jisse we make bowls, kuzer. बर्तन बनाए जाते हैं पकी मिट्टी के तो वो दैट्स बेक्ड सॉइल दैट्स द फिफ्थ वन अपॉन विच वी कैन डू तयम्मुम ऑन दैट गिले पुख्ते से आजुर व कूजे एंड सिक्स्थ एंड लास्ट ऑफ ऑल इज द डस्ट If you don't find any of those things, then ghubar and dust. So that's where you use the dust. Well, basically, any kind of dust, whether it has settled over books, or clothes, or closet, or wall, anywhere if you find dust, that's okay. That's the sixth option. First, we try to do this. So basically, in our houses, we need to have the soil ready at all times next to our bed because we are fallible people. We are not infallible. We can wake up late sometimes and the time is short and we may end up doing tayammum instead of wudu to say our prayers within the time. So in every mutadayyan and religious household, there has to be soil present next to our, in our rooms, in our beds. So we don't have to rush somewhere else for 5 minutes to bring the soil and lose the prayers. So if we wake up late, it takes 5 seconds to do tayammum. At least even you can say one rakat of prayers within the time. You still have to do tayammum and say within the time. So you can, that's also considered to be saying your prayers within time if you can say one rakat of the prayers in the time. So we need to have the soil of tayammum ready in our houses. Yeah, there are certain things upon which we cannot do the tayammum. So we can't do tayammum on number one, the jewels. Expensive jewels and those stones which are expensive, that we wear like aqiq, carnelian, or firoza, for instance, or ruby, etc., etc., those expensive stones that we wear in the rings. Number two, the baked chalk. If you bake the chalk, pakawa chuna, it is ehtiyat wajib, we don't do it on that. Third of all, we don't do tayammum on a najis soil. Even if you have the soil, but the soil is najis, we don't do tayammum on the najis soil. It has to be tahir. And fifth of all, the soil has to be, should not be usurped. So ghasbi. On a usurped soil, we cannot do the tayammum. It has to be permitted by the owner. The soil has to be permitted by the owner to use it. And last of all, we cannot do the tayammum over the ice. If it is in the frozen form, ice cannot be used for doing the tayammum. So these are things that we cannot use for tayammum. Now let's go to the rulings about when are we allowed to do the tayammum, and those are seven places. Is that clear?
Okay.
So we do the tayammum actually at seven instances. Or mawarid. Seven mawarid are for the tayammum. In these seven situations we perform the tayammum. First of all, if water is not possible to be arranged, if water is not possible to get. If it is possible for us to get the water, obviously we don't do tayammum. We need to go, we can travel some distance and find out. If we can get water from nearby, we have to go and find out. But if you know that water is not possible to achieve, when you know that it is not possible, that's where you have to do the tayammum. And second of all, where we do the tayammum is on a place where due to elderly age, burhapa, or due to fear of a thief or dacoit, or fear of an animal, we are unable to reach water. Water is available, but you are unable to reach. If any of those situations are applicable in your case, then you can do tayammum in the place of wudu. Although the water is available, but because of your elderly age, it's not accessible for you. Let's suppose there's a well, you have to pull the, that whatever barrel of water from inside the well, it's very hard. You are so old, you cannot pull it out, for instance. Or if you go out of the house to get it from the well, from the outside or wherever, there is somebody you are afraid of, or there is an animal you are afraid of, because of those reasons you are unable to get access to the water. Or in this same case, in same mas'ala, it also includes if achieving water, if finding water is so harmful, so difficult, that people don't tolerate that much hardship, usually. Finding water has a hardship which is so much that usually people don't tolerate that much hardship. In an intolerable harm in the eyes of the urf, so much hard that basically usually people cannot tolerate that much hardship to get the water. So in that case it's okay. Water is available, but it's so hard to get. Intolerable harm, so much hardship, intolerable hardship. Third place where we do the tayammum is where if we are afraid of A, death, B, illness. If we use the water, we will become ill, or the use of water may cause a defect in the body, or the use of water may cause prolonging of the illness. Or the use of water may cause the illness to become more severe, even if your illness may not prolong, but it can become more severe because of use of water. Or if we find the use of water may cause you hardship of treatment and cure, the treatment and cure of the illness will become harder if you use water. If your illness becomes more complicated, becomes harder, I mean, to cure and to find a treatment for that, in all these situations, the Sharia says that you do tayammum. Although the water is available, but still we will do tayammum.
Do you have to be sure about there should be yaqeen certitude or just ihtimal kind of
system? Ihtimal, yaqeen obviously is for sure sufficient. But if you, you know, if you have, if you decide according to the best of your own judgment, you have even ihtimal, not just a little bit ihtimal, but you are, you know, ihtimal uqalai, you know, if you have a kind of probability which is usually uqala give importance to that kind of probability.
Ihtimal uqalai. If you did it last time and it made your disease severe,
exactly,
that should be good enough.
That should be good enough because you had a tajriba and experience from the last time it caused any of those complications, then obviously you don't have yaqeen, maybe this time it may cause or may not cause, but you have an experience from the last time, that's enough. That's an ihtimal uqalai to be, you know, to take precautions.
So if you have the ihtimal uqalai, is it going to be wrong for you to do wuzu in that case or like use water in that case? Like suppose you think last time it happened and it would happen again.
Yeah, no, it's not, your wudu will not be batil.
So you can still do wudu?
You can still do wudu, it will not be batil, but it was not your obligation to do that. So this is the third place where we do the tayammum. And the fourth place where we do tayammum is obviously in a scenario where you yourself or any member of your family or even your servant or even your animal, those of the animals that we use for eating or riding, that's what we are talking about from animal, may die or face severe thirst. If you consume water that you have, these people or these categories of existences can either die or face severe thirst. In that case, Islam says that you don't use that water for your wudu. Let the water be for them and just do tayammum in the place of water. Not just this, but even Islam says, even if a kafir al-zimmi is also thirsty, then you do tayammum and give water to that person. So, any question about this?
You can do tayammum on wet soil too?
No. Because the soil, if it is wet, wet soil is not used. It has to be dry.
And again, severe thirst is basically determined by you, that it would be kind of to a great extent, not a little bit.
Yes. Obviously, it's a may die is all ihtimalat. I mean, you don't have yaqeen. Nobody can have yaqeen about the future. It's just ihtimal-e-uqala'i, you know. We think it's going to happen. We have some genuine probability. So that's enough. So inshallah, the rest of the three we will learn inshallah in the next class. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin.